Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Action Park Media.
Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment, food as sport, food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. My guest today is Anthony Lopez. You might know him on Instagram at HeavyToModified. He is a super inspirational dude. I first saw him on CNN or SportsCenter and was utterly blown away by his demeanor and his tenacity. And I find him to be just a wonderful guy. Please enjoy. You can find Anthony at HeavyToModified on Instagram. Anthony Lopez, welcome to the American Glutton Podcast.
What's up, bud?
I feel like I choked on that a little bit, but it's okay. People will know.
Hey, no one's perfect.
Dude, you're fucking super inspiring.
Thank you, man. You too.
Well,
you too.
Thank you. We're inspiring. We're like a dynamic duo of inspiration.
Yeah.
Please tell me the evolution of your transformation, because I saw you on Instagram and I was just like, this dude's crushing it. And then every day I get to see you continue to crush it.
Dude, I didn't even know you're following me. I was like, wait, what the? I looked into, because when I got the news that, you know, that you got contacted, and I was like, the name sounds familiar. I was like, holy. And then I looked, I was like, oh, he's following me. What the? How did I miss this? How did I miss this? Because I seen you pop up on my my search before. I was like, this guy doesn't even look the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then now we're sitting here. But, you know, getting what you had said, the long story is that, man, I grew up just loving food, straight up, you know, being Mexican and black. Everything we did was food.
Yeah.
Good days, bad days, happy days, sad days, anything it is just food, food, food. And I, you know, since a child, I just had a bad relationship with food. Anytime something bad happened, good happened, I ran to food for comfort. And always been the biggest kid in, you know, elementary school, junior high school. And even to the point in high school where I had to sew two football shorts together in order to play.
But you know, I mean, but you played.
Moms came through. Mom said, my boy, he puts in the work. He's going to have to play. We had to do what we got to do, you know. And that just goes into just kind of show you backstory how I was raised. Like, we're going to get it done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I never really put my my health first. I really wasn't raised on nutrition and exercise and health and all that good stuff that, you know, probably should have been a little bit more focused on, you know.
Yeah.
And I had nothing but confidence growing up. My family supported everything I did, and I did a lot, you know what I mean? So when you have a lot of confidence, you don't know about nutrition, you don't, you know, dedicate yourself to nutrition or, you know, proper way of eating, portion control, it builds into, you know, over time, and next thing you know, you're over 600 pounds and you're at a tough place in your life, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean,
I think the confidence, listen, I think we're moving more and more towards body positivity and kids being confident, and I am all for that, because I think that I think that your confidence is super helpful to you, whereas somebody who doesn't have confidence, who doesn't have that kind of like, I'm going to get it done attitude, could fail simply because they start out going like, I can't do anything about this.
Yeah, that's one thing that I never use as a kid is like, I can't. You know, I adapted to my weight, but I never said I can't do it. You know what I mean? So it's a good thing and a bad thing. You know, like I couldn't fit on a ride, but I wouldn't say I can't fit on a ride. I just wouldn't go to the amusement park.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I adapted to my weight. I adapted to what was my real, and my real was I was overweight and there's a lot of things I couldn't do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, the confidence is key in this whole story. You know, this confidence is, it started, you know, I always say that confidence is like, you know, racism. It starts at home. You know, your parents give you confidence, your parents tell you that you're awesome, that you're going to do good, and they support you when they fail, and they say, how can we be better? How can we do better? You failed, it's okay, but how are we going to not fail next time? You know, and that's how my family was, and the confidence is a big factor, and it's okay to love yourself, you know, but it's also... it's okay to love yourself enough to fix a problem that you caused.
Right.
And it's okay to know that you messed up and how are you going to fix it next time? We all mess up. I mess up all the time. I messed up last week. I gained 11 pounds. I went out.
And you and I know that like a mess up for us, it just, like our bodies are ready. Our bodies are itching.
My body was like, wait, are we going back? Are we going to 800 this time? What are we doing? Yeah. You know what I mean? But I enjoyed myself. I've worked my ass off for the last 3 years. I have a best friend since elementary school. He's getting married. Poor him. And you know what I mean? I enjoyed myself with friends at high school that known me before, you know, before all this, you know, Instagram, TikTok, whatever you want to call it, influencer stuff. And it was such a comfortable time to be around people that I know that been with me from the get and, you know, and love me, you know, for what I was. And it was really cool. And I enjoyed myself. I knew what I was going to do. My trainer sitting right here, he knew what I was going to do. I told him straight up, I was like, yo, don't call me, I'll call you. Like, I'm going to be with my friends and I'm going to enjoy myself. But when I got back home, the first thing I did was hit the gym.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I knew that I wasn't going to snowball effect into this 20-pound, 30-pound, 3-month weight gain.
Yeah.
You know, because my mentality is completely changed. I love that old person because that 600-pound person, over 600-pound person was a badass, but that's not the badass I want to be right now. That's not my happiness that I want.
Yeah.
So as soon as I got home, I got straight to my meal preps. I got straight to the gym. You know what I mean? And I got on the scale, sadly. You know what I mean? It was 11 pounds, but hey, you know what I mean? It's just a whole different mentality I have. It's a whole different happiness I have in life. And I was happy before, but this type of happiness is the best happiness. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I love what you're saying and I love your message and I love what you're doing and I really do. I, you know, it's very difficult because I think a person who's sitting inside, I can't win, I can't do anything about this. It's one thing to just say to them, yeah, you can.
Oh, yeah.
You can totally do this. It's another thing to have them actually believe it and understand it. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
It is so that mental battle is so big. And I'm sure people ask you all the time, like, what keeps you going? And it's just
I get that all the time. And I just made a post about this. You know, I'm not motivated every day. You know what I mean? I'm not motivated every day. There's days where this guy has to come and pick me up and drag me out of the house and like, yo, like you're tripping. You have opportunity that, you know, there's bodybuilders don't even have. And, you know, you're going to just throw it away. And there's times I need to be checked. You know, I'm not motivated every single day. I don't want to be in the gym 3 hours a day. I don't want to, you know, eat my meal prep instead of, you know, having some pizza, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. But, you know, this weight loss is more than me. It's for people that feel that they can't do it. It's for people that feel that they're too deep into it where they should just give up. You know, it's for those people because I'm more than happy with my body right now.
Yeah.
I have muscles. I potentially have a six pack. They say I do. I like to believe I don't because I'm just stop doing abs. I'm good then, you know, but the skin is there. And, you know, I'm going to keep working and I'm going to keep grinding. And I'm going to keep showing people like, you know, there's a person said that I can lose 100 pounds. Well, I lost 100 pounds. There's another person says I wouldn't lose any more. I lost more. The person said I was going to give up. I never gave up yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or I'm not going to give up. You know what I mean? So this is what that weight loss is for. For those people that weren't growing, that weren't raised with confidence, that feel that they can't do it. That feel that they're too far gone because I guarantee they're not over 600 pounds.
Right.
I guarantee they didn't step on a scale and they say error. A 600 pound that said error.
Yeah.
Or 600 scale pound that said, you know, said error, you know. So this is what it's for. It's every single day I post the good days, the bad days, my wins, my losses. I haven't posted about the 11 pound weight loss yet. I haven't found the right picture to post, maybe just a scale that shows my weight. But you know, I post that because this is a reality. I haven't changed my lifestyle. As in, I still have to work, I still have to do everything, but I still make time for the gym. I don't find time, I make time, you know? And I have this voice in the weight loss community that's allowed me to reach and motivate and inspire, you know, from kids to adults, to grandparents, to, you know, dads, everything. And I'm gonna take advantage of it full force, and I'm gonna motivate any person I can. And if one person a day or 1 million per people a day, so and I'm great. Gonna get it done.
Yeah, you brought up skin, and I think this is something we should talk about too, because I've experienced massive weight loss. You've experienced massive weight loss. Skin is a thing that, like, I don't know if you were ready for it or you had thought about it much, but for me, when I first lost weight, I was like, when does the skin
it doesn't
shrink?
Brother.
Right. Yeah. I had no idea. And yeah. I think that there's a lot of people out there that are going into it. And then there's other things too, which I think are a bit disingenuous, like, well, if you just intermittent fast, it'll handle the skin. If eat this way, it'll handle the skin.
If you jump in an ice bath every day, it'll handle it.
Right. Human body does not catabolize skin. It cannot use skin as a source of energy. So knowing that, if a person loses 100+ pounds and has no excess skin, that's a genetic anomaly, or they weren't that overweight big. For that yeah. long, uh-huh. right?
Yeah, because skin to me is it's like a rubber band. You know, you have buy a rubber band from a store, right? It's X amount, it's big, you know, whatever size it is. And then you stretch it a little bit, it's going to go back to size. But if you stretch it a lot and then you and keep it stretched it a lot and hold yeah. it there, that rubber band's going to be a lot bigger than it was when you bought it. And that's right. just our skin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the skin is like a very, very controversial on my social media. And I wouldn't say it's negative because people are interested. You know, I would be interested if I was never overweight and I was a maybe in shape person. I'd be like, wow, how does that feel? Can I touch it? You know what I mean? Especially, you know, it's an insecurity of mine. It's an insecurity of mine that I face every single day, and I'm open with it. I hate the skin. I don't like it 100%. But guess what? It's me. And I love myself, so therefore it's my skin. And when I want to remove it, I'll remove it.
Yeah.
But right now, it's like I focus from starting the Heavy to Modify brand to help with my skin to now, you know, trying to I'm going to be opening up a gym to get people that are uncomfortable to be in there and you have a place to work out and know that that person that's training that other person right now was over 600 pounds. Like, you know, that's motivating. You know what I mean?
So motivating.
And so I don't care about the skin. Like, yeah, sometimes I'm like, dang, I wonder what's my actual size without the skin. But, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't bother me. It bothers more people than it bothers me. It is an insecurity, but it doesn't bother me.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I think it's so vitally important that guys like you are being super open about it, because it is a factor that anyone who's confronting this is going to run into.
Yep.
If they go down the path and they stick with it and they do it and there's diligence and they're getting up the product that they're searching out, which is weight loss or fat loss,
it's for health.
Skin is good. Like, the skin is a factor. And for all the nonsense online where it's like the, you know, seaweed wraps will reduce excess skin, it's all BS.
It's just like a whole bunch of wasted money.
There will be a couple anomalies, I will grant, because science doesn't deal in absolutes, that won't have excess skin. But that's like a genetic anomaly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're lucky. You saved yourself about $30,000 worth of right. surgeries.
99.999% of the people who undergo massive weight loss are going to have a ton of excess. It's something that people should be thinking about, talking about, because we don't. And then what happened to me was I lost a bunch of weight, had a bunch of excess skin, didn't know who to talk to about it. Nobody had prepped me for that, and I was unhappy with the way I looked and was like, well, fuck it, if I gotta live with this, I'm just gonna gain weight.
I'd rather just be there's surgeries for it, you know, they're not cheap, but there's surgeries for it. But, you know, I always see the comments and they're usually from, you know, just people that are mostly not in shape or just people have like no post and they're always like, oh, well, I'd rather just stay fat. I'm like, well, if you want to gamble with your life and stay obese and then do it over some skin that could be surgically removed, I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I'd rather walk around with this skin knowing that I'm going to wake up tomorrow. Well, I should wake up tomorrow and then have the skin filled up with fat and just living a life of unhappiness, you know, because
But also, skin or no skin, and this goes down to like preference, whatever you want. Obviously, I'm not going to say there are absolutes for what people want, but now I'm sure there are no rides at amusement parks that you can't ride on. Like, the skin is not a factor
in that. Yeah, no. It just adds extra weight to the scale, which this week I could have used the skin off. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, no, I've been to Disneyland. I documented that. Been to Six Flags, water parks. These are things that a lot of people, this topic, a lot of people are not going to relate to. And I'm so happy that these people will not relate. But there's people that are going to relate to this.
Yeah.
You know, I've adapted so much with my obese lifestyle that there's so much stuff I missed out on. You know what I mean? There's so many things, so many trips, so many, you know, vacations, so many music parts, so many times with my brother, my sister, my family, because I didn't want to go because I couldn't fit. I was too tired. I made excuses because I adapted to that obesity lifestyle. And now there's no, I don't turn anything down. You know, before, like, I talked about this not too long ago, and I was like, you know, for so many years, I have a Camaro into cars, you know, really, really into cars, how I started this whole social media stuff. And everyone will go to K1, we have car shows at K1, and I'm like, damn, I want to ride these so bad. When people are like, yo, why don't you go inside, like, let's go race, I'm like, oh no, man, I was like, I have a race car, why do I want to drive a go-kart? Like, I made it seem like, oh, that's not the cool thing to do, but inside I wanted to do it, but I knew I couldn't. There's no possible way I was fitting on that go-kart, and if I did somehow miraculously fit, that bad boy wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, you know, you adapt to that, and then you lose out on, you know, such, you know, great opportunities in life, you know, to the point where I almost lost a job. I almost didn't get, you know, technically I did. I got turned down from a job because of my weight. That's changed now. I really don't want to bring up the job, but I passed all the tests, did everything the first time, went to the physical, didn't have high blood pressure, didn't have nothing, but I was like, at that time I was like 590 pounds or something like that. And I got turned down, and, you know, and, because of social media and my weight loss, or, you know, being, you know, kind of blown up like it did, the head person saw me and they're like, didn't you turn this guy down? And they fixed it,
right?
You know what I mean? But that was something that, you know, that really affected me, because like I was like, I don't get it. Like, I did everything right. I worked. I passed every single test. There were physical tests, and I was turned down because, you know, I was looked at as a liability.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And it sucks. And then that was kind of like a game changer. Like, never been rejected of something because of my weight, because that was out of my comfort zone, right? I wouldn't have done that before because I knew that I was too big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I did it because, like, I was like, well, this is something I've always wanted to do. My whole family does it. This is it's a blessing. People would, you know, give their first child for this job. And I lost it because of my selfishness. You know what I mean? And that was, you know, something other, like, you know, that was a reality check. I couldn't adapt to that because I didn't expect that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, damn, it's getting bad.
Yeah.
I mean, now I'm getting turned down because of my weight, you know? And so it's just, it's crazy, man. Just looking back, I haven't really talked about that story because I wasn't sure if I should, because, you know, but.
Well, whatever you feel comfortable.
No, my life's an open book. I post that thing all over.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, just adapting to that lifestyle that people really think that it's they probably are happy, but they just don't know that what's on the other side of that wall of happiness when they have their health and not tired from tying their shoe, or they have to worry about their shoe coming untied and taking it off and tying it and put it back on, or, you know, if you're going to fit in a restroom stall, or you have to see what restaurant you're going to eat, to see what, you know, look on the Yelp to see what chairs they have.
Is it a booth? Chairs? Are there arms on the chairs?
I used to show up about an hour before, not an hour, I used to show up before my buddies go eat and tell them I want a table, you know what I mean, because I didn't want people to know that I was embarrassed for this to get there and them give us a booth and I can't be there, or you have the chair on the side of the booth, you know what I mean? So I used to show up and get the table first before everyone, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of things, you know, wiping your ass at over 600 pounds, it becomes a chore.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so much, you know, stuff that, like I said, these people won't relate to, and I think it's amazing, but the people, you know, that are relating to this, the people that is hitting home, you know, this is your time to, you know, hear my story, and if you're not there and you're on your way there, it's your time to learn from my mistakes.
Yeah.
I've had to go through a lot. Mentally and physically.
And being open with the mistakes, I think, is super helpful too, simply because I know, simply because this happened to me a number of times, but mistakes could be the impetus to just shut you down altogether.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that you're like, no, here are the mistakes. No big deal. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It makes it, you know, it makes you relatable. I think sometimes people think that, you know, we're not human, you know, like, oh, you have a big following, you know, you're on movies, you're on TV, you don't understand. But no, we're human people that fight every single day our urges to eat, that fight not wanting to go to the gym. And when you post that, you're showing the side that a lot of people just post the before and after, but what happened in between that? How many times did you break down? You know, how many times have you given up? How many times have you just wanted to quit? You know, how many times did you cry just because everything was too tough? Like, how many times you left the gym after a 2-hour workout and just your body didn't know what to do, so you just started bawling for no reason? Because I could tell you over 100 times for me, all of them, you know, I've lost friends. I barely hang out with my family. There's a lot behind the scenes that I always let people know, like, this is it. But you have to get selfish and you need to, you know, really fight for yourself, because at the end of the day, you can do for me, he can do for me, people listening to this can do for me. It's going to be me.
Yeah.
And that's it.
What was the spark that got you going?
So my grandpa got cancer. You know, this is the only tattoo I have. These tattoos hurt. I don't know if you know, but they hurt.
Yeah.
You know, so and then I got in like the worst spot. So once he was diagnosed with cancer and given 6 months to live, I quit everything, man. When I say I quit everything, I quit everything. I lived off of credit cards and my little savings that I had. He didn't feel comfortable with nurses coming and washing him and stuff like that. And he was my best friend. So my credit score was like at 780 at the time. And I'd fucking let everything go. You know what I mean? I didn't care about nothing. I cared about one thing. I cared about being there for my grandpa, making sure his last weeks, days, months were as comfortable as possible. You know, when everything died down, I still stayed at my grandma's house for about a solid 7-8 months. So pretty much a year. We'll say a year. In total. And I just kind of like, you know, I went to food, man. Like, I was watching my best friend pass away every day. You know what I mean? I was like, damn, like, you know, I don't drink. I'm not a big drinker, not really a smoker. So I don't do drugs. So it was like food was it. And saying being Mexican and black, food was all, we had it all the time. Our literally the we had so much food in that house for those amount of months. It literally looked like a hometown buffet on the table. We couldn't use the table. It was all food all the time, you know? And that was our coping mechanism, you know? My grandpa was there and we were enjoying the time we had left. And it was a tough time for me, man. I was in a very dark place. So I lived there and I finally came home after, you know, say a year, 11 months to a year. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, fuck, you know what I mean? Like, what? I just lost my best friend. You know, my grandma's, you know, learning how to adapt to her new life. You know, I've been there for a couple months, but I had to start working again. You know, I ran out of money a long time ago. But you know, and I was just depressed, man. I literally had to Google my feelings because I've never been depressed before. I told you I was raised with confidence. I don't know what depression is. You know what I mean? And I just went through like this dark hole, you know, suicidal thoughts for like a solid 3 days. And then I just kind of like, yo, like, I snapped out of it. Like the third day, I just like woke up and I was like, it's either I fix it now or I'm gonna die. And like, you know, I have a sister who's slow. You know, I have a younger brother. They look up to me. They, no matter how big I was, they look up to me. I have a family who loves me. I have, you know, I was raised with love. Like, I have all this positive stuff. I have great people in my life. And I was like, I'm really going to tamper with my life because of my addiction to food. Like, I'm going to put myself at a deadly situation because I can't stop eating, you know? And that's what it kind of sparked it. Like, I don't want to leave my sister by herself, my brother, and like anyone. I want my mom to have to bury me. And at the end of the day, that's where I was going. I was going to die. And we didn't know COVID. We didn't know about COVID. If I could have got that, I would have died.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that was a turning point. I realized that I was being selfish and I had opportunities that people don't have. I have confidence that people don't have, and I was wasting it because of food.
Yeah.
And that was a turning point. I started going to the gym. I called my buddy who owned a gym, and I was like, yo, like, I need to fix myself. And I was like, I don't look the same way you last saw me. I was like, don't baby me, but I had to do what I had to do, and it was very little that I was doing, but I that's what started the journey.
Is that you called Jordy?
Jordy started training me about like, I don't know, almost a, like a couple months into it. We'll say a couple months into to the weight loss, and that's where, you know, Jordy. Yeah, that's Jordy right here. I'm not sure if you guys see him yet. We're on a podcast, so we probably can't. But you know what I mean? Yeah, that's Jordy. He kind of, you know, noticed that I was showing up to the gym. And, you know, when you're that big, you know, people look at you and they see laziness, they see sloppiness, you know, they see someone that doesn't care about their self or their health, right? That's just people. Humans are judgmental, and I get it now, and I understand it, and I see it firsthand, because now where I'm at right now, so much more respect. I always had a powerful voice, and people did like me, but that had to earn them. I had to speak to them more. They had to actually get to know me, because the first time they see me, there wasn't really respect towards me, you know, because they're like, oh, this guy's fucking stomach's showing, fat, you know, fuck, hopefully it didn't smell, but you know what I'm saying? But now it's way different. So I see that, and we're humans, we're judgmental people. So after a while, when there's a lot of workouts that I couldn't do being at that gym, you know, you kind of get pushed to the side, you know, and it's, I don't blame anyone. I blame myself. Once again, it was my fault for getting that big, and there's a lot of things I couldn't do. So people tend to like, you know, oh, just go over there and do that for 30 minutes. You know, they don't really like direct you into 100% of what you could be doing, because they don't know what you could do, because they don't believe that you could do it. Right. You know, so then that's where he came along, and he saw that I was showing up and ready to put in the work, but wasn't really getting tasked too much. And I've known him since elementary school, and he came in, and dude, it's, we've been like a freaking duo since then, man. I'm a trainer now. You know, with the knowledge that he's helped me with and the knowledge I've learned over the weight loss. And we've been working with each other for a while now. And he's a big part of the Heavy to Modify brand.
Has your program from whatever it was on day one, has it changed? Have there been evolutions, or did you just...
The intensity, man. The intensity is like, I'm doing stuff that... So I can do a pull-up. I was doing a pull-up at like, I don't know, 290. I mean, that's already impressive, you know what I mean? But I was like, people, you're too bad. I can't even do a pull-up. I'm 160. I can't even do a pull-up. You're not me. You know what I mean? So yeah, the intensity of the workouts, this guy, man, I hate him. I literally hate him, but only for that hour and a half. You know what I mean? But then after that, I'm like, I see muscles, and I'm like, I get that compliment, that DM, where I have a girlfriend, but it's still good. We get a compliment from a girl, like, you look amazing. Like, are you single? I'm like, confident booster. You know what I mean? I'm like, hey, Jordy, I like you again. You know, but the intensity of the workout is crazy right now, because I'm at the last like 55. Well, now it's like 65. You know, pounds of weight loss. You know, the closer you get to your goal, the harder it is.
Yeah.
And man, it is like, I look at food wrong right now. I'm like, I'm gaining. Yeah. You know what I mean? So the intensity of the workouts, I've been doing 2 days for the last like 4 months. And on top of that, I'm still training people. I do a little workouts with them. Like I train them for a whole hour, but if I see them get slacking off or getting a little unmotivated, I'll work out with them. Yeah. There's nothing better than to see the person that's telling you what to do it with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and that's one thing that I always promise myself I was going to do, because that's why I feel a lot of trainers lacking, is that when they see that their client, you know, starting to fall off or starting to feel a certain way, you know, are workout sloppy or not want to be there, like hop in with them, you know, motivate them, you know.
What about diet? How did you determine what your diet would be?
This is like my 100th time losing weight. So diets, like knowing like what to eat, I knew it. Yeah. I knew what I had to eat. I knew it's vegetables. I knew it's rice. I knew it's chicken, fish. Everyone knows it. Everyone literally knows what the diet consists of. You know what I mean? Right now, you could go up to anyone and say, hey, what's a good diet? They're going to give you a diet. Right. And that diet will work. It will work. But you have to do it. It's the consistency. It's not the diet. You know, it's the consistency of eating correct, eating clean, you know, making better food choices, you know, messing up 10% of the week and not 90% of the week, you know, and knowing, you know, what you're putting in your mouth is going to benefit your body. You know, food is fuel to us, you know, and just to show, you know, that how much fuel it is for us right now, I'm eating 6 times a day. I mean, like 4 or 5 cups of rice. I'm eating bison, and then I have a meal prep company, and I eat 3 meals of that. So 3 meals of rice with bison, 3 meals of my meal prep. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm racking up like, I don't know, like 2,000, 2,500 calories. Maybe sometimes more, you know, I like Pop-Tarts. So you know what I mean? Yeah. And then, but I'm still maintaining I'm losing and I'm gaining muscle.
But you didn't fall down any of the rabbit holes with like
no. When I first started losing weight back when I was like freshly out of high school, I had a coach who was like, he was crazy. Like 100%, like crazy. Like I think he hated fat people, right? I think, but that's what I needed, right? I was raised with so much confidence that I needed someone to like tell me, like, "Yo, you're gonna die. So if you don't want to show up, then you know, tell your parents. Let me know when the funeral is."
Yeah.
And that's how he was.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And I feel like ever since I was, and I lost like almost 200 pounds, and I gained it all back. but and some, you know, but yeah. But the knowledge that I learned from that and like him being such a hard ass on me, it's always carried over. So like I never fall into like the, oh, drink this drink and walk for 10 minutes a day and you're gonna lose 100 pounds in a month. I never believed in all that stuff, you know what I mean? I believe there's supplements to help you, you know, there's greens to help you, there's you know, pre-workout if you need it. I believe in all that. But I'm not gonna go, what's that stuff where they shake it on the, you put your on the seasoning on the food and you eat what you want to lose weight.
Right.
I don't believe in all that stuff. You know, yeah. I never fell into that stuff. You know what I mean? And I always tell people like, there's no magic. The gastric sleeve is not magic. The bypass, these pills. You know, only thing that you could do, you could pay for that's gonna help for a little bit is maybe like getting the fat sucked out. But if you don't change the way that your mentality is and the change the way you eat, you're gonna get that stuff sucked out every 2 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's no cheating behind it. It's hard work. It's dedication. It's consistency and it's breaking that bad habits with your food and just retraining yourself. You know what I mean? So yeah, so I never fell into that rabbit hole of all that's this awesome. Stuff. You know, I just like, I think from that first time I'm training for like 2 years, I was doing MMA, like, you know, I was getting my ass whooped. You know what I mean? Jiu-jitsu. I was a big boy and I was getting beat up, but like it just in the way he trained me and what he made me do, and even though I couldn't do this, he had another alternative for it, and the way he talked to me was so disrespectful. But that's like I've real like that. I'll always appreciate, because that kind of opened up the door to like, not everyone's gonna cater to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not everyone's gonna tell you it's gonna be okay. Like, you just get it done. Like, shut up and get it done. And I always remember that, and I kind of carried through to all the times I weight loss, where it's like, if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it 100%, and if I can get 100%, well then shoot, going in and out.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is really beneficial about the way you're doing it is when you see people that are not resistance training, not using weights, just in like some kind of a very, very severe caloric deficit where they're losing weight really, really rapidly, they don't look like you once they've lost that much weight. You know what I mean? You're jacked.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, the thing is, when you think, well, when we think weight loss, when we don't think this, but a lot of people will think, I need to lose weight, I'm going to go run.
Right.
Go do cardio. I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go do
an elliptical for an hour. Or starve myself.
Or I'm going to starve myself. I'm going to have a 500 calories a day. But that's unrealistic. That is what you call crash diet. That is something that you're not going to be sustainable. It's not sustainable. To me, I always preach that weight loss needs to be sustainable. You're never not going to have soda. You're never not going to have fast food. You're never not going to go to parties, weddings, drink alcohol. But how do you do good and then you have that one, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours that you're doing your thing, and then you're right back to it the next day, you know what I mean? Or that night, you know what I mean? Or you, whatever it is, you know, it has to be sustainable. And that's why I feel that a lot of people don't succeed, because they want to see such fast results, which you could get it. You could not, you know, you got 500 calories for a week and lose 10, 15, 20 pounds, but you eat one thing, you're gaining 25.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what, you know, it has to be sustainable. You can't rush the process. You have to believe in the process and know that if it took you 30 years to get that big, it's not going to take you 30 years to lose it, but it's going to take time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to happen in 5 months, you know? Right. It's not, I wish it happened in 5 months, and you know, everyone would be in shape and everyone will live a long and happy life, but it's not possible. It's not possible. It's you got to work. You know, you got to put in the time, you got to put in the effort, and if you're not ready to do it, that's fine. You're not a bad person. Do it when you're ready. But, you know, don't blame, you know, the pre-workout or the protein that, oh, I'm not losing weight because of that.
No, I know. I hate these kind of hippie words like lifestyle change and mindfulness, and they are irritating words to me. However, there's so much truth within them. Like, if I want to just diet really severely and then go back to what I was doing, well, what I was doing led to being obese.
Yeah.
So that's the trade-off I'm looking at. There is no kind of universe where you get to go back to what you were doing and expect to maintain the results.
No, you know? Have to. It is 100%. It's I guess you could say a lifestyle change. It's a mentality change. It's an addiction change. Like, my addiction is still there. It's just in the gym.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I still love food. Like, you know, like, I love it. I go to In-N-Out. You know, there's these things over there in Orange County called a Papa Loca. I have those like twice a week.
Right.
I mean, my boy over here, we rack up those. They're like 1,100 calories, but I know what I need to do that day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I still eat, you know what I mean? But my addiction is not the food anymore. It's being in the gym. It's looking at myself in the mirror. It's looking at something that I've built, and it's like, I want more.
Yeah. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I said I want another serving of food. I want, you know, I want another rep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just transferring over addiction, you know. But my mentality has changed where I could go to the river for a couple days and know that I was going to gain weight. Like, I already predicted it. I'm going to go to the river, I'm going to gain weight, and I'm going to lose it, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you can't go in there with mentality of like, oh, I'm going to do this diet for 2 months and then expect once you're done with it and you're like, okay, I'm good. No, how are you going to maintain that weight? What did you learn? If you learn nothing, then you're going to get nothing. You
right. know what
I mean, if you didn't learn how to eat and your portions and what's great for your body, if you bloat up with rice or you eat wheat rice sits better with you, or maybe you can't have rice. Maybe some people bloat up really bad. Whatever it is, if you didn't learn anything about your body, then you're not going to stay. It's not maintainable.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the gym. You're opening a gym, right?
Yes. I got an amazing opportunity from First Foreman, Andy Frisella.
I love Andy.
Yeah, oh man, I've been following that guy for a long time, and I just freaking, damn, that was crazy. That just happened like not too long ago, and I was like tripping out, man. And yeah, he blessed me with money to open up a gym. Right now I have my real estate team looking for places. You know, it was a 5-year goal, dude, so it's like there's a lot going on. Like, I'm not sure if anything in your life has ever like happened where it's like, oh, one day I'm going to do this. And then next thing you know, it's like you have the opportunity, you know, weeks later, you know. So now everything's like really stressful in the fam, but it's like it's a good stress, you know. It's like I'm going to be able to have my own place to call home and be able to train people and help change people's lives and help motivate people and have seminars there, you know, talk about things that, you know, I feel some people during the weight loss journey don't talk about. You know what I mean? So it's definitely a crazy, crazy time in my life right now.
Yeah.
I never thought in my life I'll have a gym.
I think it's really important that you and people like you and guys who have gone through that have gyms. I didn't step foot into a gym until I'd lost like 250 pounds. I wasn't comfortable doing it because my idea, and now I would be the first guy to say, no, please, go. I want to see people who are out of shape in the gym because they're the most miraculous projects.
Yeah, they're the badasses.
I'm the changes that happen in me are nothing now. Like, yeah. They're so slow. It takes 6 months to change really anything with
exactly.
me now. But like a dude who's really overweight, I want to see that
like
dude.
That. Yeah. You see like that in 2 months, 100 pounds lost because our body's not supposed to be that big. And it's so motivating. I have a client right now, King. He is 630 pounds. Hopefully he's not upset with me saying his weight, but I think he'll be fine. And he's, dude, Monday through Friday, like I tell him, like, bro, you are a badass. You're 630 pounds. There's people that are 40 pounds overweight that haven't stepped foot in the gym have been paying their membership for 2 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't understand how badass this person is right now. You know what I mean? You don't understand how cool this is to see and how motivating it is for me. I have a picture on my Instagram and I'm pushing him on the sled. And I told him, like, that day I remember, I was like, when you see me doing this, when we're working out together, I want you to look at me and see the future you. Because when I look at you, I see the old me. And you know what I mean? And I know you got it. You're going to do it. You're going to have your own success. You're going to have your own story to tell. You just got to show up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think it's so awesome to, you know, to be starting at over 600 pounds and never thinking I would open a gym, never think I would motivate people for weight loss. And to be where I'm at now, where I'm on podcasts every week and I'm traveling and people are, you know, talking to me, want to talk to me on Zoom, paying for my time, you know, sending me their full stories, some great stories, some pretty sad stories. And, you know, they trust me, you know, so I can't turn that down, man. I got to give it 120%,
yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm doing right now. Myself and my team, I just feel like we're never satisfied with the work we're putting in. You know, I feel like we always could do more because, like, I feel like it's like a bad weight on my shoulder, but it's a weight on my shoulders. Like, if I don't post today, what if this person doesn't see and doesn't go to the gym? And usually when I feel that, I post this, I'm just like, I wasn't gonna go to the gym, but holy crap, I'm going. You know what I mean? That's a great feeling. It's hard. It's probably hard for you to get some of your family members in the gym.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But to be able to get someone who I don't know, who doesn't know me, and they just follow me to go to the gym, then dude, like, come on, man. Like, I'm helping change people's lives, and I don't have to, like, physically be there. I just gotta give 110%. That's all I need to do. I was put on this earth for a reason. Never thought I'd be weight loss, but apparently that's what it is.
Yeah,
I have a voice and I'm gonna use that to the best of my abilities to keep people, you know, healthy and happy, you know, and working towards a better and happier life for them.
Yeah, it is super inspiring, and it's like, you know, you've got a great message and I love how open you are, and I think there's a lot of stuff that people aren't thinking about or expecting or having, you know, the proper kind of goals in mind, or what's it gonna be like, you know what I mean? And they can look and go like, well, here it is. Well, this is what it is.
Here's the documented life. Yo, it's a road, man.
Yeah.
And everyone's different. Everyone's road is going to be different. Some people are going to lose weight faster. Some people are going to take longer to gain muscles. So I've been active my whole life. I played, you know, baseball as a kid. I played, you know, football, high school. I wrestled. Didn't get a lot of matches. No one's really, you know, was as big as I am. But, you know what I mean? I did shot put and discus. You know what I mean? So I was active my whole life. So my dad, he's always like, oh, those muscles have been there.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, they weren't. Like, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's like I have this, you know, this body now because, like, you know, I'm grinding. You know what I mean? And I think it, you know, from being active the whole time, even though I was overweight, you know, that's a lot of weight for your body to carry. You know what I mean? So now just being in the gym and now be able to see them, it's like, oh, I want more.
You know
what I mean? I want more. I want to keep doing more. And people trip out. Like, some people, because you got to remember, some people will follow me on Instagram or TikTok and they just see the me now. You know, they see the person that's 60 pounds away from their goal. And then they, like, maybe they scroll and they're like, holy crap, like, you were that, like, you know, people trip out, you know, because it's like, well, you didn't just lose weight and became healthy. Like, he lost weight, now he's getting muscles now. Like, he's more ripped than I am, you know. And it's just, it's like, you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing for people to see that, like, okay, I'm starting today.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, I remember seeing this thing. It's like, yo, I'm not going to lie. I was eating a Pop-Tart, but I just put it in the sink. You know what I mean? Like, and I know I love Pop-Tarts. So I'm like, hey, that's a big step right there, brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm going for broke, man. Like, these muscles aren't done. I'm going for a six-pack before I have skin removal surgery.
Yeah.
You know, I have definition in my legs, so we're gonna keep working on legs. I want this to be like the most shocking but motivating weight loss journey ever. I'm talking about, we have big plans for my body, and I'm nervous, but I'm excited, you know, the effort that I'm gonna have to put in, but it's gonna be 100% worth it, because everything that anyone's told me I couldn't do, I'm surpassing.
Yeah.
I jump dirt bikes, I jump mountain bikes, you know, I snowboard now, you know,
it's incredible, dude.
It's like, and my family always tells me too, they're like, I think we felt more comfortable when you're over 600 pounds because you weren't doing this reckless stuff. You know what I mean? Like, And I was like, hey, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? I'm doing what I always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I've always been reckless, man. I've always been reckless. I love doing just fun nonsense stuff. Like jumping a dirt bike, I've always wanted to. I was too fat.
Yeah.
I always had to ride quads.
Right.
I mean, now every single Sunday, me and my little brother, which another thing too, like, you know, pay attention to, you know, what you're losing out with your family and your loved ones because of your weight.
Yeah.
You know, I had a relationship with my brother my whole entire life, but did I really have a relationship? Was I going with them, you know, to Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm, all stuff? No, because I was always tired and I was too big. Now I see him every weekend. He comes over all the time. And like, not saying we didn't love each other. I'm just saying that I was sacrificing my relationship with my little brother because I chose food. I was sacrificing a relationship with my little sister and taking her places and taking her to the pool because I was embarrassed or I was too big. You know what I mean? So it's like, now it's like, there's nothing stopping me. Like, there's nothing stopping me.
There's a lot of that I can utterly relate to, that I think you can even get into while you're doing it, this kind of cognitive dissonance where you're convincing yourself of something. But if you got down to the heart of it, it's really just that, like, I'm too tired to do it, or I'm not physically capable of doing it, or whatever excuse. And I know for me, having the prospect of being a father was a really, really big deal to me, where I had to really go, like, if my kids want to go play on the beach, am I going to be too embarrassed to do that with them? I should never be too embarrassed about myself to experience something with my kids, which was the case growing up, that I was too uncomfortable physically with myself, that I didn't want to do stuff with friends, with my family, or whatever it is.
Sacrificing.
Yeah, that I then went, like, I cannot allow that to happen with my kids. I can't allow my kids to miss an opportunity because I'm incapable.
Yeah, that's the selfish part, remember? That falls into, like, how selfish are we being?
Right.
You know what I mean? Your kids want to go to Disneyland, and you say no because you don't want... Not that you don't want to go, because deep down, you want to go.
Right.
But you can't. Physically, you can't fit on a ride, or you'll be too tired. And, you know, I get it, man. It's being overweight is just literally extra luggage.
Yeah.
You know, for a normal 150, 200-pound person to walk upstairs, 2, 3, 4 flights of stairs, it's an everyday. Some people do it every day.
Now carrying a refrigerator.
Or a refrigerator in your bag. Yeah, I put, you know, an extra 200 pounds on that. Right now, I'm practicing my, like, the sumos, and, like, I'm only doing 3 plates, and I'm over here like, holy crap, I weighed more than this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I could have been lifting my own self up. So, but this, you know, that old version of myself was walking with this, you know, carrying camera equipment, walking a SEMA 17,000 steps. Like, you know what I mean? I get it. Everything is so much harder, but, you know, the end of that is going to be death.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, people are having heart attacks at 50 pounds overweight, you know, 70 pounds overweight. Now imagine being 400 pounds overweight, you know. I was playing with death every single day, you know. And if I could share my story, and I could share my embarrassing stuff, share my insecurities to get people to not follow that, you know, that path I was taking, or if they're, you know, not on that, if they're already there, to show that it's possible to fix it,
yeah,
then I'm gonna share every single insecurity, every single story, whether it be good and bad, whether my family likes it or not, whether my team likes it or not. I'm gonna say it, because I've learned is that the things that I refrain from saying, and when I choose to say it, are the most impactful.
Yeah.
They're the most impactful stuff. You know, me talking about not being able to wipe my butt, and it being like a whole thing, or, like, you know, not fitting in restroom stalls, only be able to use the handicap stall. You know what I mean? It's like, that's all stuff that there's people going through right now, and people don't, they feel like they're alone, but they're really not alone. It's just people are not talking about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No one's going to tell you that, you know, Susan or freaking Bill went home that night and cried because, you know, that girl he really likes is with someone else, and because his weight, and he's like, no one's gonna talk about that. Plenty of times that there's girls I liked and wouldn't give me a time of day. But I just want to let you guys know now that I get DMs all the time from these people from high school, and now all of a sudden they liked me in high school. You know what I mean? But
right.
I'm gonna talk about it. They just didn't tell me back then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was good enough to go hang out and get food, but I wasn't good enough to date. But that's the harsh reality. You know what I mean? The harsh reality is that, you know, you're gonna be looked at different.
Yeah.
When you're overweight, you know, when you're big, when you're fat, whatever you want to call it, I mean, you're going to be judged, you know, and it gets to people. That's why I say you can never truly be happy when you're that size. I don't care how much you love yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be that thing that happened that you're going to remember because weight related.
I remember flying to Europe before I'd ever started dieting.
And you're like super skinny out there, right? Like Europe is like
very skinny. But just on the plane, I didn't drink, and like I only think about this now because of how much water I drink now. I drink like almost 2 gallons a day every day, sometimes a little bit more, but like a lot of water.
Yeah.
And I know that when I get on a plane now, I'm pounding water because I always feel a little bizarrely dehydrated from flying.
The altitude.
Yeah. I remember traveling to Europe multiple times, being really big, on purpose, not drinking water or anything the day before. Because I didn't want to have to like get up and be seen by everybody. And then I didn't really fit just standing in the bathroom.
Sideways walk, baby. You get that little penguin sideways walk. I know that walk. Yeah. I've done that walk plenty of times.
And then I'd be dehydrated for days trying to recuperate whatever I'd lost from like 12 hours without water plus the night before, you know. And it just was getting leg cramps because I'm truly dehydrated.
That's
just craziness like that where it's like, what the hell am I doing?
But that was your normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was at one point in your life, that was your happiness. You were happy right there.
Sure.
You weren't happy with how you looked.
No, but I was stoked. But you were going to Europe,
right? Yeah. But now you're like, how good do you feel? Like, when I first got on the plane for my first time, I was nervous.
Yeah.
Like, because I was like, oh, when I would travel at that biggest size, like, it was like, always like, hope to God we're not on the last, you know, the last call, because then you got to walk past everyone.
Yeah.
You know, you got your man boobs slapping this freaking dude in the face when you walk by sideways. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's embarrassing. You know what I mean? So I got to the point where I was like, I want to be like the first loaded on, and they would usually do it because I buy, and then buying two seats. Like, I didn't know how cheap it was to travel. Now I know how cheap it is to travel when you only got to buy one seat, you know, there and back, you know. So it was just like, you know, embarrassing. And when I was on the plane for my first time, I didn't have to go to the restroom. I just went in there. I was like, I'm going to go for it. I was nervous. Like, I was genuinely something that anyone in this room, except for maybe you, could just, I have to go to the restroom. I'll be right back. Goes to the restroom in the airplane.
Yeah.
That wasn't our reality.
No.
You know what I mean? I literally was nervous. And so when I lost all this weight, I was still pretty heavy on my first time I went, but I one seat and everything. Now I'm really good, you know? Now, but I was like so nervous, and like, I was like PTSD. And I went in there. I was like, I don't think I've ever, actually tell you the truth. I don't think, just think about it right now. It just popped in my head. I don't think I ever personally seen the inside of an airplane restroom until that, till last year.
Right.
I think that's the first time I've seen you know, pictures and, you know, movies and stuff like that. But I think that's actually the first time I've ever seen the inside of a airplane restroom.
Yeah.
And been inside of it was that one. And I was like, I was in there and I was like, kind of got teary eyed. You know what I mean? Just because like, damn, like, it's like before, like, this was impossible.
Right.
I wasn't enjoying life. You know what I mean? And now, like, I could walk down the aisle. I could, you know, do whatever it is. I used to go to the restroom for no reason. I barely have to go. I'm going to go anyways.
No. It's almost fun to hang out in there now. You know, like, if there's nobody waiting, you get a little private room.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I was just like, dang, so this is what it feels like. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, just stuff like that that, you know, I just clicked in my head right now that, yeah, that was the first time I've ever seen the inside of an airplane restroom.
Yeah.
So it's just stuff like that, man, that, you know, it's just like a new quality of life that, you know, I never want to go back to that old me.
Yeah.
You know, I love that old me for everything he's done, everything I've learned. It's helped build me to the person I am today. But physically, I never want to go back to that person.
Me
but
neither.
I want to share that story of that person. I want to share the story of, you know, how I got there and what I was feeling. And, you know, even to the point where, like, you know, when I do have like speaking events, like, I want to bring my mom in and, like, you know, how was it raising a kid that was, I was always fat.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Doctor always say the same thing. I hate to go to the doctor. Anthony's good. His health is good, but he's overweight.
Right.
I know I'm overweight. You know what I mean? And like, I was the biggest person in the class. You know, got to the point where I couldn't even fit in, like, well, I fit in the high school chairs because your boy, I wasn't gonna like get like, you know, I wasn't gonna be that embarrassed, but your boy getting stuck sometimes, you know, and lift up, stand up, and the chair would come up with me. I'm like, oh, damn it, man, you know. But, you know, I wanted her to talk about stuff like that, you know, and I want Jordy to talk about, you know, how it is to train someone that's morbidly obese, and, you know, because it's different. You have to learn, you have to adapt, you know. And those are all stories, and I mean, feel that people will relate to, like, maybe there's someone listening right now that's raising a you know, future obese kid. You know what I mean? It starts at home, and it's just, you see what it did to my life. Now, yes, I fixed it, but why not train them now and teach them now nutrition and fitness so they don't have to spend literally probably 80% of my life on a diet.
Yeah.
Not doing the right stuff. But you know what I mean? You're always on a diet. You know, so that's what I want to share. Like, I want to get it. I want to get it when they're young. You know, I want these parents and these grandparents and whoever else is listening to know, like, this is not the life you want to live. Like, I just happened to get lucky. You know what I mean? I chose to, you know, change my life around. But if you could stop it, you know, young, then why not?
Yeah.
You know, show them, you know, they don't have to eat all that plate.
It does become really, really hard once a kid becomes at all autonomous or moving freely on their own, or even able to like access the kitchen on their own, because then you can't be there for every decision.
No.
But when a kid, you know, there's a huge portion of the kid's childhood where you're actually this, you know,
you're in control
to mouth.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
In control of everything that goes in their body,
and they're learning like a sponge.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And I just didn't know that it was easier for my mom to give fast food. I don't blame her. That's one thing I want to let everyone know. I don't blame anyone. I don't blame my mom, my dad, my grandparents. I don't blame the spoon. I don't blame fast food. Fast food comes to a point where it's my fault. You know, I knew as I got older what I should. I knew I looked different than everyone else, right?
Yeah.
So I don't blame anyone. And that's one thing that, you know, everyone needs to know. And I feel everyone needs to sit down and reflect on. Don't blame other people.
It just takes your own, like, those people are not going to be able to fix whatever happens.
No.
So even if you sit there and you go, absolutely, I was tied down and force fed, and that was not my fault. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But that person can't undo that.
Can't undo
that's
it.
That's happened.
It's past tense. It's it already happened. You know what I mean? You can't blame other people. You can't blame anything. And even if you do blame other people and you blame everything, who's going to fix it?
Right.
It's on you to change. It's on you to change. Right. And I feel like it's the hardest pill to swallow. I just had a Zoom call today with someone. And he was, you know, I told him, like, you know, I was like, hey, you know, you could be upset at this. You could be upset at that. This girl could break up with you. She could cheat on you, whatever. But it's up to you to change what you want to change about yourself. You know, those are all feelings and emotions that are probably valid, but it still doesn't. Why is it affecting your goals? You're going to run through hurdles every single day in life. Life is hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to run through hurdles every single day, but are you going to learn from those hurdles you face? Are you going to learn from it and grow from it? Or are you just going to hit that first little hurdle and turn back around and go back to the old you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People don't know what's on the other side of that hurdle because they can't make it there because they quit once it gets difficult.
Yeah.
You know, and I was telling them that, like, you can't. Can't quit when it gets hard, because everyone quits when it gets hard. Today in the group chat, you know, a couple of my guys didn't show up. I was like, hey, you guys don't have to work out today. We need more basic people. You know what I mean? Like, I got them today. I mean, because it's hard for me to wake up early. So when I do, I'm a firecracker. If I'm up there before you or you don't show up, I'll best believe all day. I never miss a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, people, you got to hear that. Like, yo, you got to be on it, you know?
Yeah. I want to be unaffected by advertising and propaganda for food. And red and yellow is really good because it makes you salivate. Whatever nonsense the psychologists have figured out.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I want that to have no effect on me. Sorry, it does.
Yeah.
I see a Big Mac or a McRib or one of these things on a billboard. Talking. My mouth salivates.
Yeah.
I cannot help that. But how I react to that, what the actions I take based on that, they're all up to me. Nobody is forcing me to eat that.
That's it. It's not the spoon's fault because you're fat. It's not the fork's fault. It's not fast food. And I love that. I love it. You know, it does it. You said it. It affects you, but it's how you act.
Yeah.
That's what makes you the 1%.
Yeah.
Is how you act.
Yeah. If a girl did something bad or a dude did something bad and you take that as a reason to then behave badly toward yourself, that's not their fault.
No.
This is you're reacting to it. I completely agree. It's a very positive message.
It's very hard to accept that you're the problem.
Yeah.
You know, no one wants to look in the mirror and say, like, I did this. It's my fault. They want to be like, well, I remember in high school, you know, this person did this and it affected me. You know what I mean? For instance, I've been through this. I lost all that weight talking about it the first time, or probably one out of 10 times I've lost weight. And I wanted to get my skin removed. I had a Kaiser and I worked my butt off. I was like, lost almost 200 pounds. And, you know, I started to get like kind of like a rash, you know. And then so I was going in there complaining. And finally I heard back from them. They called me and said, oh, you didn't get approved because you didn't have a weight loss surgery. And I worked my butt off, man. Like, I'm like probably in my, I was probably like 21, 22. And that's at the time where, like, you're after high school, you know, you're partying, you're, you know, hang out with girls, all that stuff. Like, I don't want to have this skin, you know what I mean? I had a different mentality back then. I was pissed, man. I remember getting off the phone and just crying. Like, why did I lose all this weight?
But you're saying that had you had a weight loss surgery, you
would've got the skin. Yeah, I would have been okay to get the skin removal surgery for free. Shout out to Kaiser. but you know what? But check this out, though.
You saved them money. And so, wild.
It's interesting, but you know, but check this out. I got turned down, you know. I went on a crazy 5, 6, 7, 8 year binge all the way up until my grandpa got sick till we're at today.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you know, I got, you know, I learned a lot through that time, you know what I mean? I learned to accept my skin. I learned to accept myself. I gained more weight, so I filled in the skin, so I'd have me skin for a while, you know, extra skin. But, you know, it was a learning experience, you know what I mean? I couldn't blame Kaiser, and that's what I was doing for so long.
Sure.
I know the exact picture on my Instagram that it's me holding the ice cream, a donut with ice cream in the middle. And then from that picture on is where it was. I got the call that day. That night I went to a car meet, and we went to that place after, and it was a downhill spiral from there. I'll always keep that picture on my Instagram because that meaningful picture that no one even knows. It's just a picture of ice cream with a donut.
Yeah.
But that was the day I talked to Kaiser. That was the day that I started blaming other people. And I learned that you can't blame other people. So I'm glad that happened. I'm glad that happened because it allowed me to stop feeling sorry for myself. Now, looking at now and say, like, yo, it's no one's going to change it but me. And that's where I get it from because yeah. Kaiser said no. I lost all this weight. I worked my butt off. And they said no. So then I gave up. I relate with those people now.
It's a very hard thing to view externally while you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, while you're in that and feeling that, it's hard. Like, I don't know the formula to take somebody and go, like, let's just look at it from over here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's all it takes. It's literally like I'm looking at it one way, and if I step over here and look at it from a different angle, it's a whole different beast.
Yeah.
Right? Like, things are happening to me versus I can be responsible for everything. Yep. It's just the way you look at life.
It's all perspective, man. You wake up in the morning, you stub your toe, you say it's gonna be a bad day. Well, you're on for a long ride, brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't do that. You know what I mean? I don't. I believe that in every situation, there's positive, and if you don't find the positive, there's a learning experience. You know what I mean? Everything we learn every single day, man. I fail every single day, whether it be with weight loss or be in, you know, interaction with someone or how I thought about something. Like, I fail all the time, man. Every single day I fail on something, you know, and I've just learned to accept it and learn from it and know that, okay, I did that yesterday, so what am I going to do today to make, you know, to not do that anymore? What did I learn from it? Was it good? Was it bad? You know, and it's just, you have to accept it. Like, failure is okay, but quitting's never okay. But failing's part of the game. How many times did you fail before you made it to where you've made it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how many times? You know, probably over 1,000, maybe over 1,000,000, right?
Yeah.
You know, people don't like to talk about that, but I fail every single day. But I learn and I grow every single day because of that failure.
Yeah.
And I know that I don't like that feeling, so I don't want to go back to that. You know, that's how I look at it.
I love it.
Positive light.
One of my favorite quotes is Samuel Beckett, and he said, ever tried, ever failed, no matter, try again, fail better. I love it.
I know. I like that. I never heard that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that quote, but no, it's it. Fail. It's okay to fail.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I failed for 30 years of my life. Really,
yeah.
If you look at it.
If we look to only ever achieve perfection, we might as well do nothing because it's not possible.
It's not. It's not possible. I tried. No, it's not, man. It's not possible. And I just really wish people would understand that. But they have to go through it, man. They have to go through their own stages. I wasn't going to lose weight until I was really ready. No matter how many times people told me you weren't going to lose weight until you were ready. No matter how many people told you. It took a real life experience of you realizing that you are not going to be able to do a lot of stuff with your kids to realize you had to change yourself. I realized that I was I was killing myself, and I was taken away from, you know, being there for my family at an older age and my sister, my brother, for me to start realizing that I had to lose weight. It took me losing my grandpa to find all this out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what really sparked it. Because then when you start really reflecting when you lose someone you love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now I was like, well, my grandpa didn't have opportunity to go to the gym and work off cancer. he didn't have the opportunity to go to not go to fast food and have a salad or have chicken and rice. And he didn't have the opportunity to get rid of cancer like that.
Yeah.
I have opportunity to get rid of my cancer, which is obesity. And how am I not going to take the opportunity?
Yeah. I'm sober also, and in sobriety and recovery for that, we talk about rock bottoms. And I've talked to people who've said, like, I don't like the concept of rock bottom. And I'm like, I think rock bottom is whatever the point at which you change.
Yeah.
Or you decide that's rock bottom. So it's totally different for everyone. And for me, you know, I had to get really bad off before I made an about face and made a change. You also sounds like you were pretty far off before you made that about face.
Bad.
But for anybody, it can be, it doesn't have to be. Some people, it's death. Some people die and don't get the opportunity to make the about face, and that's their rock bottom.
That was it? Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. That's rock bottom is always going to be different for someone. You know, my rock bottom was where I was at. Your rock bottom was, but someone else's rock bottom could have been a sign.
Right.
You mean they could have been thinking about, you know, suicide.
Yeah.
And they see a car accident in front of them and someone dies. Like, that could be their rock bottom.
Or it could be they wake up one day and go, like, I'm 40 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
And I've had enough.
And I've had enough.
And that's their rock bottom.
Rock bottom doesn't have to be the world's worst thing. It's just your version of rock bottom. Like I said, we all have different stories.
Yeah.
You know, so everything's going to be different. You know, it's just how it is. You know, so rock bottom has to be a bad thing. But for me, it was an eye opener.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I was depressed for 3 days and I was like, you know what? It's got to go.
Yeah.
We got to do something. You know what I mean? And I'm so happy that I decided to, you know, to do it. You know, I never thought that it was going to blow up like this.
Yeah.
I never thought I would be sitting with someone I've seen in movies. You know what I mean? Like, never. Like, you know, being on Andy Frisella or, you know, ESPN. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy, but I was given an opportunity. And like I said earlier, I'm going to take it and I'm going to run with it. And I'm going to be as positive and as motivating. And I'm just going to be the best version of myself to show people that anything is possible if you just put your head down and you grind.
I'm so excited by what you're doing. When your gym is up and running, will you invite me and I can come work out? 100%.
I'll try and work out. Dude, you are humongous. You are.
Thank you very much.
That is freaking awesome, man. Like, I was like, damn, he's big. I don't know if I want to work out with that guy. I don't know what he's squatting right now. I don't squat. I have an uneven leg. Heavy.
So do I.
You do? Yeah, I had surgery when I was a kid. So this guy calls me peg leg. You know what I mean? So one leg shorter. So when I squat, I'm tilting to the right. So I'm like, I'm not even going to do it. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, I don't know. Squatting hurts anyways. It hurts my neck.
I don't do a lot of free weight squatting. I honestly do like straight leg deadlifts and leg press. And sometimes on a Smith machine, I'll do some squats, but really,
not really.
I've damaged the hell. I have a torn patella tendon in one knee. I have no meniscus in the other. Like, I'm just very, I cannot do a lunge. Hurt. Yeah.
Holy crap. I got a slight tear in my meniscus snowboarding. That sucked.
Yeah.
Out of all things, too.
We've been rough on our knees and feet. We really have.
Yeah. I've really, these bad boys, been carrying some massive weight, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, no, definitely want you to come down to the gym. I think it would be an honor, man. I want to work out with you before then. You
know?
But I think it would be cool to see your workout routine, and you know, it's awesome, man. Yeah, we're on the same journey.
Yeah.
We're on the same journey.
Sure.
Are you at your goal?
I mean, my goal ebbs and flows. My goal this year is to have revealed obliques. And so I'm basically cutting until November to get there.
Okay.
But like, I've got a six pack.
I know, I've seen that. This is freaking nuts.
Yeah.
That is insane, man. I'm working for it. They said that we think we've seen it in one of the videos, but there's so much skin.
Yeah.
That, you know, could be wrong, could be right. But I mean, I'm just working out, man.
Yeah.
Three hours a day.
I, by the way, all of my stuff now, I'm like thinking about the year, you know what I mean? And doing it really, really slowly. Everything is really, I don't want to get an injury. I don't really give a shit about how heavy anything is, as long as it's not too light or too heavy. Like, the numbers don't matter to me.
Yeah, I just started doing the sumo. I was like, you know, I was starting to like, you know, doing, I feel like I needed something new. And I was like, I told Jordy, I was like, I want to do sumos. He said, why? I was like, I need some news. Like, I'm the type of person where, like, I go from hobby to hobby. Like, so I'm in the same place every day, but I could be doing something different. In which we do a lot of the full body workouts, have leg days, all that stuff. But I was like, I haven't done the sumo, so like, let's do it. So then I was like, you know, now I'm doing that. Do like two times a week, and it's cool to, you know, people. It's cool to lift heavy weights sometimes. Sure. You know, it feels cool. You know, back's super sore sometimes because I'm not used to that movement.
Yeah.
And so I have to. He's like, well, he's like, this is what you want to do. So you're gonna be sore, but you gotta still gotta show up.
And right.
I'm like, damn it, I said it. So now I have to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, I want to go for like 700 pounds, and now I said it, and I'm like, God damn it, like, talk too much. But it's always cool, like I said, pushing myself, pushing the boundaries. And you know, I can't really say I care about getting hurt, because I jump dirt bikes every weekend.
Yeah,
you know, then my team's not too happy about
you're
this.
A lot younger than I am too. Like, I'm a lot older than you, so I think our concerns here might be a little bit different. Like, I had one of my kids asked me, she goes to a school and there are kids who lift weights in her school, and she was like, what do you deadlift? And I said, I have no idea. And she was like, no, she would not take this answer. And I said, I have no idea. Here's what I do 12 reps of, but like, you want to know what one rep is? I don't know. I'll never do that ever under any circumstances. Yeah. So I don't know. And she was so angry. She was like, no, you need to find out what you can deadlift so I can tell these boys.
She's trying to go home like, hey, my dad.
Right.
He laughed at your PR.
I'm like, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
You're ripped. It doesn't matter. As long as you're happy with your body. But yeah, so just, you know, trying new things. You know, I know, I feel that I've turned down so many opportunities that now it's like I'm not turned down anything. Like, if someone's like, yo, let's go do a 6-hour workout and then, you know, run 2 miles, I'm like, let's go.
Right.
I'm probably going to do it once.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll probably never talk to you again, but right. I'll give it my best. You know? I mean, we have some pretty insane workouts. We have people that come and train with me that are like one-offs, like not people that I train like daily or weekly or stuff like that. And those workouts, like this guy, you know, those are he does those workouts because I work out with them.
Yeah.
The last one we had, like, we had these two guys come. I was on his podcast. They're in shape, six packs. You know what I mean? Got the nice blonde hair. You know what I mean? Looking all ripped. And boy, they text us the next day. They're like, we've worked out with a lot of people, and I've never felt this soreness in my life before. One of the guys like, I haven't moved. I was like, me too, brother, because he likes to do this to me sometimes, and I'm like, oh man. But that's a weekly thing for me. You know? It's a weekly thing where I push my body to the limits that it could be pushed. Like I said, I don't want to get hurt.
Sure.
But it's a lot of hard work, man. So but it's fun, man. I tell you right now, I have a smile on my face, a real smile on my face all the time.
Yeah.
I'm just happy, even on days that like they suck. Like, I'm happy.
And your smile is infectious, dude. I love watching it. Yeah, you're in there. You're working out. It looks really hard. You're still smiling. It's really a joy to watch.
Yeah, thank you. I thank you for noticing that, because it is, you know, I always, like, sometimes, like, when we have photo shoots and, like we don't really plan our content. You know, I always tell them, like, I always try to change this, but I don't change it. Like, we're really shooting at the hip. Like, I go there and I film my workout. I don't plan the workout to do. I don't, you know, well, he knows what I'm doing, you know me, but I don't, like, plan what I'm going to film and how I'm going to film and all that stuff. It's just more like I just post it, and you know, people, I think that's why people relate, because it's not like a commercial. It's not like a come work out now commercial. It's like me doing my what it's taking to lose the weight, what it's taking to build my muscle, what it's taking to reach my goal. And I think that's where I kind of had that blessing, is for to be relatable. You know, for people relate to it. It's not, you go on my Instagram or wherever it is, you're not seeing a whole bunch of, like, you know, promotion stuff. It's just me.
Yeah.
It's me talking crap. It's me talking crap to this guy. It's me, you know, just posting up a big old freaking funnel cake. You know, one day I post them in the gym, and the next day I have a 10-pound funnel cake, and I'm like happy as hell.
Right.
You know what I mean, it's what I enjoy to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I always want to be relatable, and I always want to make sure my content, you know, stays relatable. And this is what I'm doing. This is what it takes to do. And you know, have fun while doing it.
Yeah.
Have fun. You know, I talk crap to this guy all the time. I say I don't like him. I don't. I know in about 4 hours, I'm going to hate him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But why not be happy? I'm choosing to do this. I'm putting years on my life.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you got to enjoy love. You got to really fall in love with the process. And that sounds cliche because everyone says it. But really, fall in love with the process.
It's that thing. Like, it's hard to understand until you're there. Until and you're when there. You're there, you go, oh my God, that's what they were talking about.
Today, I got a text message from one of the guys I've been training for about 2 months now. And he was like, yo, I'm at Disneyland. And I just got on Space Mountain. He's like, I haven't been on Space Mountain in years. You know how good that made me feel?
Because
he didn't he didn't text any of his best friends, his mom, his dad. He texts me.
Right.
He's like, yo, I went on Space Mountain with my kids today. You know how great of a feeling that is?
Yeah.
I want everyone to feel that. I want everyone that, even if it's a small thing, like, oh, I couldn't jump. Well, now you could jump. You know what I mean? That's a great feeling that I think everyone should be able to feel, but it's work. It's hard work. That was my motivation today when he sent me that text. Like, I know how it feels to not be able to get on rides.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, man, like, that's my motivation today. 100%, you know, it's so awesome. And I hope that, you know, anyone listening, I hope this really gives them the motivation and they learn something from this and they kind of take it to their everyday. And when they're struggling, turn this bad boy on and just listen, because it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But, man, what's on the other side of that hill, no matter how big your hill is, whether a hill is 600 pounds or your hill is, you know, 200 pounds, whatever that hill is, just get over that hill and there's happiness. Yeah. There's a different type of happiness.
It is glorious.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Anthony, thank you so much.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me, brother.
Of course. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And now for the Q&A.
This one comes from Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Main question. How do you find motivation when you feel like you're crushing your diet and workouts, but the scale is telling you otherwise? For example, down 8 pounds and then up 3. And he goes on to talk about his story and what he's been through, but it's such a good, this was like, I just wanted to cut to the main question here. Like, you feel like you're crushing it and then you don't see what you want to see. I empathize.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I always allow for some kind of fluctuation, and I even allow for more than 3 pounds. I allow for a 5 pound fluctuation, and I allow for this fluctuation on days, but I don't allow for it over the course of weeks. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you're looking kind of like at a long-term,
more long-term. So if you wanted to graph, you could create a graph, and over time you want to see that the graph is trending down. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to lose weight, as long as that number or that line is trending down, then you're good. Doesn't matter day to day on fluctuations. Those fluctuations could be, you know, from salt, from all kinds of environmental shit could have it. You could eat something that you didn't realize had a bunch of salt in it. You know, I get carried away with soy sauce sometimes, and that can jack the scale up. Maybe I didn't, you know, sorry, I'm going to become quite graphic now. Clear my bowels. Mm. Before I weighed in, I don't know that I'm ever holding on to 3 pounds of solid waste, but it's something, and that could have an effect on it. Or I didn't hydrate enough, and therefore, you know, my body got scared that we were in a drought and we're retaining water or something like this. It's all the ways I rationalize it. But so long as the graph is trending down, mm-hmm. we're fine. 3 pounds up in a day, like, I only weigh myself twice a week, because there's so much fluctuation day by day that I don't want to see it, because that noise is a bummer to see.
Mm-hmm. How often do you do it?
Twice a week.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. That makes perfect sense. I like that. Look at it like a long term. Look at a graph. Make a graph of it. You could do it by day or week. You could, you know.
Yeah. And therefore, you know, and look, if you do start trending up, you're doing something has happened that wasn't happening before, and you got to figure that out.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Thanks for your question, Jeff.
If you have a question that you'd like answered on the podcast, please email it to americanglutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee, and as always, joined by my chaperone, Paige Dorian. Follow us on Instagram at American Glutton Podcast. Sincerely.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.